Hello everyone, it's time again for Heart to Heart, the website broadcast ordered by the Holy Spirit. I thank the Lord for His handiwork. I thank the Lord for how He does things. His wisdom is far greater than the imagination of man. I thank the Lord for how He plans things out and He brings things to pass, even in our lives. He can use us like a tool in His hand if we will only yield to Him. You know, for years the Lord had me to preach a message saying follow God. Many churches in the Birmingham area, I counted about 20 in all that the Lord sent me to in those days. And sometimes I would write pastors, and I would go to the particular church that he guided me to go to, and he'd give me a word at home. Now, when I say a word, I mean a written prophetic word. It was a prophetic word, and most of the time it was a word of wisdom. And it was showing the necessity of following God, putting Him first. In the previous website broadcast, we talked about how the format of a man's ministry is in the instruction. The initial instruction that God gives you to do and perform, there's a format that comes with it. It's in it. The Lord said to me, "Behold, you are my child. I have chosen you, and you shall be a vessel of honor." Now, when He told me that, He woke me up, He gave me this dream, and I woke up, I sensed His presence in the room, and that's what He said to me, "Behold, you are my child. I have chosen you, and you shall be a vessel of honor." All right. I knew that He was calling me to the ministry. My pastor at that time, Elder James Lewis, told me that the Lord was going to call me. And He'll probably give you a dream. And it happened just like He said. So when it happened, I got up, went in the living room. I asked the Lord, I said, "Lord, what kind of ministry am I going to be? What am I going to do? How am I going to do it? Where am I going to go? What am I going to say?" I had all these questions. He said, "Follow me." All right. If He chose me for a purpose and I would be a vessel of honor, that meant if I'm to pull this off, I'll have to get my instruction from Him. And when I want to know what type of minister, all these questions, He said, "Follow me." And in another website broadcast, we talked about how I learned to follow God. But everything was His handiwork all along. He prepared me before He called me in some ways. And then he started working with me and He trained me. All right. Everything in God is progressive. It's supposed to be fruitful and multiply. Everything God made starts in seed form. Everything. Animals, plants, people. Even God. That's why He told Zechariah, "Don't despise small beginnings." Now, the scientists and the preachers, two schools of thought. Now, when you talk about the truth, you have to include both in certain areas. There's one thing that the physicists say that I strongly agree with. And this is going to sound just as crazy as anything you ever heard. They said that the universe started out small. And one guy, he's very popular, he's always on TV, he said you could probably hold it in your hand. Now, the only reason I would believe something like that is because everything that God made started out in seed form. And He created all of this. Now, when we get to heaven, all the questions you got will be answered. But this is one statement that He made sounded right. Now, they blame the creation on other things, aliens and foolishness. The Lord made everything that was made. Every world. The Lord told me, I'm still making planets and people. God made this. Jesus did the work. 1 John says, Jesus made everything that was made. There's several places in the Word of God said he made everything. Because Jesus, before he was a man, he was the Word. He was the spoken Word of God. There was nothing made without him. But he became flesh. Now, you're going to get all those answers. They're right there in the Word. You're just going to have to research them. Now, I'm saying this because we are designed by God to prosper, to be fruitful and multiply. We're not supposed to stay in the condition that we're in now. In God, we're supposed to go forward, only go forward. We are never to stay the same. We are to always grow, to always prosper, to always go forward, forever. Being fruitful and multiplying, replenishing the earth, subduing it, having dominion. That's what we do. That's our pattern. Now, when we met the rich young ruler, he came to Jesus kneeling and praying, wanting to know what he could do to inherit the kingdom of God. And he kept the moral law. Except Jesus said, there's one thing you lack. Go and sell all that you have, give to the poor, and come and follow me. Now, we said the last website broadcast that if he had done that, he would have been tremendously blessed. He would have found out that as fast as he was trying to give those goods away and sell it and give to the poor, the flow of finances would have continued to come in his life. The Lord would have had other people giving him things. Because Jesus said, if you sow sparing, you'll reap sparing, which also means if you sow abundantly, you will reap also abundantly. And whatever you sow, that's what you'll reap. That's God's way. I asked him for the definition of being fruitful. He said to prepare yourself to give profit. I said, well, what about to multiply? He said, it's to increase greatly. And to subdue, it means to keep it from getting out of control. But well, replenish means to supply fully, and subdue means to keep it in control. As you learn the methods of God, the Word of God, you apply them in your life. And they work to help you in your marriage, to help you with your children, to help you in your business, to help counsel people to be their best, to guide them by example. Because, see, your example, when you can't tell people the Word of God, you can live it. And they can read it. They can read your life just like they read the Word of God. In fact, a visual is, it can give people more hope than what they hear faster. See, your love, your expressed love is real to them. When you say you love people, people can question that, but your expressed love is more real to them. It can help them while they're in that baby stage or while they're in that estranged stage. Your everyday, continual, relentless love can win souls. And see, the Lord don't want us to just come and recite a saying like it's a magic prayer without meaning and we're in the kingdom of God. He wants us to understand fully that he loves us. He died for you. He loved you so much that he left heaven, became a man, breathed this air, lived this life, worked the fields of his Father, did everything that he was supposed to do, laid his life down and died for you. Now, he expressed love that we can't see because we didn't see him do all that. We hear the gospel of his love. And that's the best we have. But the life of God gets in us when we believe. The love of God gets in our heart. We have the ability to love like he does. And we can express that love at our will. And it will win souls. It will get attention when nothing else will. we should be a progressive people. Now, many years ago, man always find a way to mess things up, and Satan is afraid of the life of God in us. He didn't fear God because he rebelled. He didn't fear man because he corrupted man. But he does fear man reunited with God, because we can expose him for the liar that he is. We can live the word of God before mankind. We can express the love of God to everybody we know. Everybody we know. We can love them. And that can win souls from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. They can be transformed, and they can find out that they're more than conquerors, and Satan will have a bigger problem than he had before. And that's what we do. Now, with that being said, we should be progressive. Now, the kings of old found a way to manipulate the people of God. They would get false prophets to lie for them and get people to do what they wanted them to do. So there became a fight against the power of God. The enemy knew if too many people found out about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and how good it is, and how they can pray in the Holy Spirit, and God, and it would open doors for God to guide them in this life. And they can have breakthrough prayers. They can get their sick healed. If too many people found out about it too fast, it would be a national revival that he can't conquer. And you get more people believing God than not believing God. And you have more people living the life of God, and they'll get more people in the world saved, and his fight will be reduced. So he had to find a way to quell it, to stop it, to slow it down, to derail the train that was going to destroy him. So he had preachers to preach lies. See, it all stems back. You can trace every sin back to something. One of the first kings of Israel to do this on purpose, Saul did it in a way, but he still had a love for God. He just loved his position more than he loved God. But there came about a king called Jeroboam. He went to Egypt, and the Egyptians hated Israel. They wanted them back in slavery, like the kings of old. So When Jeroboam fled King Solomon, David's son Solomon, he went to Egypt. And the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh, groomed him to be an idolater. When he came back, instead of worship, he was afraid that the people would, he had a war with Rehoboam, Solomon's son, after Solomon died. And he wanted them to, instead of them going to Jerusalem to worship, he put a golden calf in Bethel and one in Dan in the north. And he led, and he controlled Israel with his witchcraft. And they fell for idolatry. That's how they ended up in Babylonian captivity and Medo-Persian captivity, because they became idolaters, because it started with just one person. In modern times, in the Dark Ages, the kings married the Catholic Church, and they, you know, I said in other broadcasts, they taught the word in Latin. Nobody had a Latin Bible. They didn't understand it, and they depended on the priest to interpret it. And they had the people controlling the people with religion. So a lot of things that was a threat to Satan was reduced in that era. And I mean that two ways, in that time period and the lies they taught, that era, both of it was era. Anyway, but Martin Luther came, and he taught faith in Jesus Christ again. And they protested the out of bounds Catholic ways. Now, just like in any organization, everybody's not going to be corrupt. That was some true Catholic priest. that love God, that study the word and taught people right. But I promise you, it's always a few people that will stand out of many that won't. Most people in this world will compromise. In fact, when Jesus comes back, many will have turned from Christianity. There were Christians, there were preachers, and they went with another gospel. And they taught lies instead of the truth. And they took bribes, and they loved money more and their position more than God's will. That's the Laodicean church. God's going to spit them out. They're going to be here when the rapture comes, and they'll be here because they got out. They walked out of the kingdom of their own free will. They became untrue. God warned them. He sent all the preachers to warn them. He gave them dreams, but they didn't listen to that. And they're not going to listen because God spit them out of his mouth. They're going to go to hell. They're going to join the world and be an enemy to God like they already are. But the true people, those that are true, those that want to know God, they're going to go forward and do mighty works. Daniel said, he that do know the Lord their God, they will do mighty exploits. They're going to do works of the Holy Ghost, like you, like me. This is a work of the Holy Spirit. I'm doing this at his guidance. I'm obeying the Lord. Every broadcast I do, every web broadcast I do, is ordered by the Holy Spirit. He gives me what to teach. Now, when people begin to compromise the gospel, they preach it on a compromised way. One school of thought that I saw along the years as I went to church, I've been going to church all my life. My dad was a Methodist pastor. And the devil will use your lack of knowledge against you. And one school of thought was, you don't question God. Now, my dad didn't teach that, but that was a lady. In fact, I'm related to her. I said, you need to ask the Lord questions, just like I do on. And she said, I was always taught, you don't question God. In other words, it became normal for people to live as if God didn't want them to know him. And when people love parts of this world, they don't really want to know God. They want to go to heaven. And I grew up hearing people say God works in mysterious ways. No, he don't. He keeps his word. He gave you promises. You believe the promises, you walk in them at your will. Well, preacher, that sounds arrogant. Let's define arrogance. Arrogance and true defiance is not obeying the word of God. The only way you'll get to know God for yourself is in obedience. If you will take him at his word and do his word, I promise you, you will get to know him and you will love him. He will be able to. I want to know God for myself, not just what I read about in the pages. But the first step is receiving what he had to say in the pages. In the written word of God, already expressed by the men and women of God, by men of God of old. You know, you can read about Deborah, a prophetess. One man wouldn't go to war unless she came. There were true men and women of God in the word of God, people that kept the word. When they had trouble, they asked God questions. Lord, what do I do? How do I, you know, Samuel's parents. The Lord talked to the mother before he talked to the father. Because God fights to win. He wanted to get the job done. And the angel came to the Samson's mother and then his father. And they were of Dan. They were Danites in the tribe of Dan. And Manoah, his father, asked when the angel came back. He asked, Lord, how do we take care of this child? How do we govern him? What do we do? And the angel gave him instructions that he was a Nazarite. He had to regard the law of the Nazarite. He couldn't cut his hair and he couldn't eat grapes. And they trained him. They kept the word of God. They did what they were supposed to do. Now remember, The old ways that you may have heard, you know, sometimes when preachers run into a challenge, if they don't fully use their faith and destroy, like we were talking about the last broadcast, sometimes they just stop where they are and they preach it on a, they just preach what happened to them as if it's all right. And they preach God's will into it. They make it God's will for them to be poor. They never fully, you know, you think about it. The rich man, the rich young ruler walked away. He didn't give the word of God a chance to multiply his life. Now, he walked away sorrowful. And that's when Jesus said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to go to heaven. Now, let's examine it a little bit. Why? Because he loves his money more than he loves God. He trusts his money in the stead of trusting God. So that's where he'll stop in life. And when it's time for him to believe on the Savior, Jesus Christ, he's going to look at his money and his possessions and never have the relationship with the Lord. That money got in his way. I hope he got it figured out in time to get saved. I hope other Christians got to him and he repented one day. But that day he walked away sorrowful. But he came to Jesus kneeling and worshiping God. He loved God, but he loved his money more. Now, what would have happened if he obeyed him? Let's examine that side of it. What happens to people when they love God and take him at his word and they give to the poor? Now, let's examine the man who did this. Acts chapter 10. There's a man named Cornelius. He was a Roman soldier, and he helped them build the temple. He loved the Jews. He loved God. He did all he knew. And this was the man that the Lord used to show Peter that the Gentiles need to be saved. See, that was a mindset, just like there are many mindsets that's not right, that's actually error, that many Christians believe. Well, it always happened that way. There were all kind of mindsets out there. Even though Jesus came and he taught the people, he saved Gentiles, he prayed, he healed Gentiles. That was in Jerusalem, that was still that mindset that, you know, you don't preach to Gentiles. You only preach to Jews. Even Jesus said it's to the Jew first and also to the Gentiles. But he didn't say it's to the Jews only. So this man was not Jewish. Now, they were used to proselytes. They were used to Gentiles coming to find out about God, and they had to live according to the ways of the Jews. Now, Christians, they're not under the ceremonial law. We all deal with the moral law, and we all should observe the moral law. But the ceremonial law, such as circumcision, Sabbath days, all the feast days they had to deal with, the Gentiles didn't do all that unless they became proselytes. Now, this man was not a proselyte. He was just a man that loved God, and he donated to the temple. He did all that he knew. He took the money he had and served God with it. So the Lord turned around and showed Peter three dreams that he was eating, that he was to kill and eat all kinds of unclean animals. Now, they are the animals that's not, you know, God gave rules about what we could eat and what we couldn't. And Jews didn't eat animals that were not clean. For instance, among cattle, a clean cattle, it had to chew the cud and it had to have a divided hoof. Now, a pig has a divided hoof, but it doesn't chew the cud like a cow and a bull and a goat and a sheep. Now, the sheeps and the goats and the cows, the bulls, they chew the cud and they have divided hoofs, so they're considered clean. All right? The pigs and the hogs and dogs and cats and things like that, they don't qualify as clean. So when this sheep came down, they had all kind of unclean animals, pigs and dogs and cats and things like that we wouldn't eat. I mean, that that Jews wouldn't eat. And the Lord said, slay and eat, Peter. He said, no, Lord, I never ate anything unclean. He said, what I've cleansed, don't call it unclean. And he had this dream three times. And then the men came, and Peter was to go with them. Cornelius sent some men to get Peter, and Peter went with them, doubting nothing. Then he went to Cornelius' house, and that's where Peter learned that the Gentiles are to get saved. Now, while Peter was preaching, they believed. And then they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, just like they did on the day of Pentecost. See? And then they were baptized in the Lord's name. Now, so they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost first, and then they were baptized in water. Now, when they were baptized in the Holy Ghost, that meant that they believed on Jesus Christ. Because Peter understood that you can't receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost unless you believed on Jesus and were saved. So this man, wonderful things happened to Cornelius and his family and his friends. Wonderful things happened because he sold. His heart was reaching out for God. He didn't let anything get in his way. No money, no position, his authority. He laid all that down at the Lord's feet. He did all he knew. Now the angels couldn't tell him the gospel, but they told him to send for Peter. And Peter preached the gospel. Angels don't preach the gospel. Only men and women preach the gospel. Breathing men and women are qualified to preach. Because angels don't get saved. They stay saved. So they can't preach the gospel. People that get saved preach the gospel. We are the body of Christ. Now, let's go back to the beginning. Sometimes you just have to go back to what God did in the first place and observe it strongly in order to make better decisions. Now, this is a scripture I love to read. It says, and God blessed them. Now, this Adam, let's go back to verse 26. It said, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. So, this is your pattern, verse 28. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, the earth is our jurisdiction. There's nothing in that scripture said, act like you're no good, don't ask God questions, don't try to make progress in your life. It didn't say that. It didn't say be lazy. It didn't say be slothful. It didn't say sit back and wait till God feel like doing something to get something done. It said no. It said you be fruitful. You multiply. You refill the earth. You subdue it. And you have dominion over it. Well, you know, God works in mysterious ways. We don't know why God do this. It didn't say sit back and let the enemy overrun your life. You take dominion. That's the first authority scripture right there. You're supposed to take dominion over the enemy. When the Lord says subdue it, that's the first clue that you had an enemy on the loose. And you have dominion. Don't give it to your enemy. But people lack knowledge. And the devil take. He steals from us like people taking candy from a baby. See, a baby's muscles and arms are not strong. They don't have the dexterity to hold on to what you, that candy. And you can take it away from a toddler if you want to, because your dexterity is better if you're grown and strong. But he told Adam and Eve not to allow sin in this world, but make it beautiful. And he planted a garden eastward in Eden, and Adam was supposed to use that same authority and make the whole world look like that garden. That garden was his pattern. He was supposed to take what he had and do something with it. You're supposed to take what God has given you and multiply. If he gave you a gift of any kind, if you're musically inclined, if you can build things, if you're a great orator or speaker, and the Lord has given you a mind to be a blessing to people, to encourage people, whatever it is God has given you to do, if you have the skills to be a surgeon, multiply that gift. See, you take whatever you have and you give it back to God and let him bless it. And then he's going to multiply it in your life. Be fruitful. If you can make good grades in school, do it on purpose. Make the best grades you can so that you have the greatest advantage so you can go to the schools and learn and finish and graduate and begin a profession that will bless humanity. And the Lord will help you do it. If you want to honor God, this is how you do it. Make something. Take what you have. If school is not your thing, learn a trade. Learn something. Go to the library. Learn something. You don't have to get a degree for it, but learn something and do it well. And watch God move in your life. Don't sit back and think God is going to, like the, don't sit back and do nothing. That doesn't honor God. Come on now. That doesn't honor. Sitting back doing nothing is not humble. That's stupid. You need to be just as progressive as God is, because he'll help you be progressive. Oh boy, we out of time, but the Lord is not. And he will multiply your life. He will help you go forward. He will show you how to conquer the challenges that have come against you.